Today on The Journey.
See, most men and women who struggle in this area, because of shame and guilt and fear of rejection, can't even talk about it to the people they love.
The road is lonely when we travel outside God's clearly marked lines. The solid lines are there, not to restrict our freedom, but to keep us in fellowship with Him. They warn us away from the ditch and the dark woods that lie beyond. Perhaps the loneliest of our fellow travelers are those who have left the narrow way and driven into the darkness of homosexuality. Today, Ron Moore shares a compassionate look at God's way while offering a new direction for those caught in the gay lifestyle. Also, to help you in your study of this vital topic, we're offering free of charge Ron's booklet, In the Beginning. Its scriptural references and relevant instructions celebrate God's gift of sex and encourage its proper use. It's at ronmoore.org, and I'll have more about it later in the broadcast. Now, here's Ron Moore with part one of his message, Homosexuality. Is it really an alternative? On The Journey.
John has been the only childhood friend that I've kept up with during my adult life. Through the journey of life, John and I have never lost track with each other. The weekend that Lori and I were married, John was there. For the rehearsal dinner, we had a big barbecue after the rehearsal dinner, and he's the one who helped me set up this huge charcoal grill. And I know you're not supposed to see your bride on the wedding day, but on the day of our wedding, John and Lori and I went to a nearby town in an old pickup to pick up some things we needed for the reception. We always kept up with John through emails, through letters, through phone calls, and through visits. Just about every summer, Lori will take the kids and go to Oklahoma for a couple weeks, sometimes a little longer than that, and I'll join her either in the front part of that or the end of that. And John, during that time, would come to Pittsburgh with me and stay here. And we would do projects around the house. We'd put up a new ceiling or lay a tile floor or tear down an old shed in our backyard. And then John would always drive straight through to Oklahoma. John was very active in his church. He was involved in the men's group at his pastor's home on a Saturday morning. We talked about that a lot. He attended seminary and he loved to do extensive word studies. In fact, in my files, I have a paper he wrote on cohabitation, on living together. Prior to coming to Pittsburgh for our project week, he would say, let's go through a Bible study together. So we would figure out something we were going to talk about, and during breakfast, we would do a book study or Bible study. And then we would work during the day on this project. In the evening, we'd go to a pirate game or rent a movie that we wanted to see, a new movie that was out. And if there was anything ever inappropriate in a movie, John was always the first to say, I'm not watching that anymore. Let's turn it off. On our trips back to Oklahoma, somewhere in Missouri, the conversations would always get serious. We would talk about growing up. We would talk about his childhood, and he would start to talk about challenges growing up. And even though I had heard those stories before and even lived through some of those with him, each time, sitting in his pickup, traveling down I-44, I felt a depth of pain, and almost a new depth of emotional pain as he told those stories over and over. And I'd just say, John, you need to get a wife. You just need to get married. That's your issue. And he'd say, well, there's this lady I've been taking out to lunch after church on Sundays, and there's another woman in our office that I'd like to date. So recently, when he told me he was gay, I never saw it coming. Back in 1993, I was preaching through a series on family, and I was going to cover this topic. And right before I went up to speak, a couple approached me, a strong Christian couple, longtime members of our church. And they said, Ron, we're very interested in what you're going to say tonight. Our son is gay, and he's a great son, and we love him very much. And I didn't change at all what I was going to say, but I can promise you that I pray, Lord, help me speak the truth with grace. Help me speak with gentleness and respect. And just a few years ago, I received a call from that couple. They had since moved away. Their son had died, and they asked me to speak at his funeral. And as I met with that family to prepare the message, our prayer was the same. God, please enable me to write and deliver a message of truth and grace. See, most men and women who struggle in this area fight a silent, lonely battle. And because of shame and guilt and fear of rejection, they can't even talk about it to the people they love. My friend told me later that the last time he was in Pittsburgh, after we watched our movie, he would go and weep because another day went by and he couldn't bring himself to share his struggle with me. What I want us to do is just to camp out in God's Word. And we're going to see again God's design and His intention for sexuality. And then we're going to talk about what it means to develop a Christ-like framework for responding to this area of sexual temptation. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The body of the man with all its parts was designed and formed by God, and that mass of flesh lay lifeless until God stooped down and He breathed life into that man. And then and there, man became a living being, body and soul. Now, go over to chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." The Hebrew word for the word alone is the word bad. It means to be separated. It means to be by oneself. So think about it. To this point, God has only created one human being, just one. And He says it's not good for him to be by himself. It's not good for him to be alone. Why is that? What is not good about this man being alone, this only person that God has created? We'll turn back to Genesis chapter 1 and look at verse 28. Now remember, Genesis 1 is the story of creation. And in Genesis 1, we get kind of the cleft notes of the creation of man. And then when we go to Genesis 2, we get a more complete account of the creation of man. So here in the cleft notes in Genesis chapter 1 regarding the creation of man, God explains what the union of this man and woman is supposed to accomplish. And look what He says in chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." This union is going to produce little humans, little people. Man and woman are going to come together and they're going to be part of creation. What a privilege. Now go back to Genesis 2 where you see a more detailed account of the creation. Remember, we've seen the first part. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." It's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make a perfect partner. I have a vision for man. And man is to replenish the earth. Man is to increase in number. That's why it's not good for him to be alone. He can't do it by himself. So I'm going to make a helper suitable. I'm going to make a perfect companion. I'm going to make one who with the man will produce new life. And you know the story. God had the man fall into his sleep and he took from the man's side and he created a person, an eternal soul, just like the man, but a body that was different. A body that could receive the seed of life and join with an egg to start the process of life. God created the woman's body to grow that little life, give birth to that life, and even feed that life, providing not only nourishment, but touch and love that would be critical in the development of body and soul. God's vision for the human race starts with sexuality. You're going to replenish the earth. But you can't do it by yourself. That's why it's not good for you to be alone. So here's someone, a woman, that you can fulfill the vision of the human race. Now look again at the verse we've looked at often, Genesis 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and the woman will form a relationship. They will be united together in a public ceremony of commitment. So there'll be accountability there. They're going to have an exclusive commitment to one another. And then they're going to come together in sexual intimacy, enjoying the different bodies that God designed. And then sometimes a chandelier swinging and sometimes beautiful ordinariness of the sacred sexual union. They will remind themselves over and over and over again of their promise to love and cherish and care for each other. And when God so wills, the union will produce a little human and bring that human into a world, a home of commitment, exclusive commitment, to be loved and nourished and taught in the context of a home of a man and a woman who will model what it means to love God and to obey God, who will mentor that little life to a mature Christian character. See, sex between a man and a woman in the context of marriage is God's only design for bringing new people into the world to fulfill His vision, to provide them with an environment where they can grow in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Now, right after Genesis 2 comes what? Genesis 3. Every time. Whenever you read Scripture, it always happens like that. And in Genesis chapter 3, you know what happens. Sin enters the world. And now this ideal of creation is marred by sin. And this sin throughout Scripture and throughout history, in our present day, this sin in a fallen world shows up so often, doesn't it? In the gift of sex. Such a beautiful gift. Such a powerful drive. Why wouldn't Satan use it to cause us to fall? Now the sexual drive is in the hands of sinful men and women, like a nuclear bomb in the hands of a rogue nation. That is not the way it's supposed to be. So when His Word, God makes it very clear. Now after Genesis 3, He has to set out some clear instruction for sinful man. And He makes it very clear that anything outside His design for sex is sin. Sex before marriage is sin, and it carries dangerous and heartbreaking consequences. Sex outside of marriage is the sin of adultery, and it carries dangerous and heartbreaking consequences. So God says, remember the ideal. Exodus 20:14, you shall not commit adultery. And sex expressed in any way between a man and a man or a woman and a woman is the sin of homosexuality and carries with it dangerous and heartbreaking consequences. And so God makes the command clear in Leviticus chapter 18. Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. Like every other sin, in the eyes of God, is revolting and abhorrent. Like every other sin, it cannot be explained away. Like every other sexual temptation, it is a strong drive that must be disciplined and it must be contained. You say, yeah, that's just Old Testament stuff. Okay, turn to Matthew chapter 19. By the way, since all Scripture is inspired by God, I don't agree with you that it's just Old Testament stuff, but turn to Matthew 19 anyway. Look at Matthew 19, verse 4. In responding to a question about divorce, Jesus goes all the way back to creation. And He goes all the way back to the perfect plan and the perfect design of God in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And He does that to emphasize and reestablish God's only allowance for sexual intimacy. Chapter 19, verse 4. Jesus says, haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? That's God's plan. It's in the beginning. It's not about culture. It's not about progressiveness. It's not about being liberal or conservative. It's about God's design in the beginning. He made them male and female. And He said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, I read this at every marriage ceremony, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And God only joins together what He ordains. Let no man separate. God says, don't mess with my design and don't mess with my plan. Any attempt at sexual satisfaction apart from God's design is sin. It is counterfeit experience. Okay, so how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to deal with homosexuality as a church, as individuals? Well, we have to deal with it like every other sin. Number one, if you struggle in this area, you need to admit it and you need to deal with it. The longer you hide your struggle, the more entrenched the temptation will become. And then one day, like my friend, after holding it back for so long, the dam breaks. And only God will know the path you take. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men, all sin of men who what? Who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The word suppress means to hold back, to hinder, to restrain. When the truth is held back, the void is filled with lies. Look at Romans chapter 1, look at verse 24 and 27. Responding to one sin, one ungodliness, one wickedness, therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires and their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Again, anytime you suppress the truth in your heart, there's a void. So a lie comes in. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even women exchanged natural relation for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their punishment. You see, hidden and ignored sin darkens and hardens our hearts. And the farther and the longer you travel away from God, the harder the return trip becomes. My friend, who refused to deal with this temptation until the dam broke, says now, don't even talk to me about changing. I don't want to hear it. You're going to write to me about changing? Don't send the letter. So the first thing is don't travel that far.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Before that, we want you to know about his booklet, In the Beginning. It's our free offer during this message series. Many, both inside and outside the church, fail to realize that sex was designed by God, a beautiful gift to His creation. He meant it as an expression of love and for our enjoyment, but only when expressed as He intended. Sadly, our culture has distorted that intention while bombarding us with sexual images, lyrics, and innuendos, so much so that they creep into our minds and take root in our souls. In this series and booklet, Ron Moore counters that influence with a biblical worldview anchored in creation, the fall, and redemption. In creation, we discover God's perfect design and plan for sex. In the fall, we study the damage that occurs when sex is used inappropriately, selfishly, and in opposition to God's commands. And finally, in redemption, we learn what happens when we stumble into sexual error, including the nature of repentance and God's plan for restoration. The In the Beginning booklet is yours free of charge when you visit us on the web at ronmoore.org. In its wise instruction, you'll find clarity, courage, and healing. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org, or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
So how do we respond? Turn to Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." In other words, he wouldn't let her near him if he only knew what kind of woman she was. And since he says he's a prophet, he must not be one, because he's letting her wipe his feet with her tears. So here's a lesson we learn from that. Jesus never turned sinners away, whatever the sin, and neither should we. I think most of us treat homosexuality like a worse sin. Sinners we don't want to associate with. Stanton Jones, professor at Wheaton College, says this, "If you cannot empathize with a homosexual person because of fear of or revulsion to them, you are failing our Lord."
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember that we want to send you a free copy of Ron's booklet, In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality. In its pages, you'll learn how to enjoy the gift of sex in marriage, resist temptation, and recover from sexual sin. In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality is perfect for your teen, a friend, or a family member who's wrestling with sexual choices. You'll find it on the web as a download or in printed form at ronmoore.org. Or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your family and friends about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.